Welcome to a brand new series called This Is Joy. Glad to have you guys here. And how many are thankful to get out of the monsoon that has been Fort Wayne, Indiana all this week? Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for sunshine. I had the kids helping me this week getting an ark ready, but glad we didn't have to use that. All right, corny joke, I know. All right, anyways, good to see you guys. And I want to just real quick just echo from the small groups. If you want to lead a small group this summer, man, I want to encourage you, jump in. Summer's one of the best times, too, because you can do a bunch of groups outside, which is what tends to happen. And from walking groups, all kinds of different stuff, and softball groups. Come on, Mike, where you at? There he is. Yeah. And so I encourage you at the station right out these doors. One of our team will be there. So if you want more information about signing up and how to lead a group, man, I encourage you, do something and lead something you're passionate about, everybody. Amen? Amen. So just before we get into the message this morning, a couple things I just want to just kind of bring to your attention. First of all, we've had a little bit of a heavy heart, we have for the last few days. And unexpectedly, this past Wednesday, one of our faithful members of our church, George Nicodemus, went home to be with the Lord. And it was, like I said, unexpected. He has been with, he had been with us for about 4 years and served the Lord faithfully. He came to know the Lord in this church. And God has just did so much in his life, you guys. And every time I look at the coffee out there, George for years went and picked that up. And so was faithful. That was one of the faithful parts that George was always doing to serve this church. And how many thank God for the coffee? Amen, everybody. And so with George, faithfully, he served on our hospitality team with Aaron and Janae Hartzell, and just so thankful. And man, we're going to miss him. And so I saw him on the pre-roll this morning, and man, just touched my heart. So George was an amazing man. Tonight at 6 p.m., we're going to celebrate his life, and we're going to celebrate him well. And George loved you. Even though you may not have known George, I promise you, he loved you. And he loved this church. One of my favorite statements that George made shortly after he got saved, I'll never forget it. We got it on video, I think, James, too, is he said, man, coming to church is fun. And it was one of my favorite moments with him, and he just enjoyed the journey. And so we're going to miss George. But tonight at 6 p.m., if you would like to be a part and come out tonight, we're going to celebrate his life real well tonight. Amen, everybody? And so thankful for him. Also, everybody say in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from this Sunday, we are not going to have services in this auditorium, but we're going to have services in this building. It's actually going to be in the gymnasium for one Sunday only. We're going to do two services. It'll be the 10 a.m. and the 11:30 a.m. service. We'll still have those. And here's why, everybody. You see these nasty carpet that we've had? It's coming up. Thank you, Jesus. It is on its way up. And so we cannot keep up with the coffee stains, and so it's coming up. And so we go into concrete, so if you spill your coffee, you're going to have to clean it up. All right, everybody? And so it's a win-win deal, all right? And so we're excited about that. Project 2 is this stage. And actually, let me just say this, give a quick shout-out on this floor. The carpet and the concrete floor that's coming in, the school is taking care of that. They have taken all costs, which blew us away. And so that's awesome. So we thank God for that. And then this stage is Project 2. And so we're going to do some redesign a little bit up here, but that'll be a separate deal. Won't take us out for a Sunday. So in 2 weeks, I'm asking you all to be super flexible, super patient with us and our teams as we just work through that one Sunday. Everybody say, it's just one Sunday, all right? So it didn't take much prayer, trust me, to consider getting these out, so amen. Also, just want to say that we are coming back home from the Freedom Conference this weekend, and Friday night, Saturday, what a move of God Freedom has been in this church. Yeah, it's been awesome. So many stories, even from this weekend, of just life change. And so we are just so thankful. If you've not been a part of the Freedom Groups, our fall semester will have it. I'll be leading another men's group. I'm so proud of the men of this church, the women of this church. I'm courageous this weekend and taking next steps. Man, so many of them said, man, Pastor, can we go back through again? So you know it's good, all right? And so we're thankful for that. In December, we host our first Freedom Conference. So we're pretty tickled about that around here. All right, we're excited. And so it's been good to see what God's doing in that in this whole week, and it's just been phenomenal. So y'all ready for the message this morning? Amen. Let's jump in. We are in this series, and this is, we're going to take the month of May, and I love doing this from time to time, just kind of doing a book study, because I think it helps us grow closer to God and understanding His Word when we just dive into the books of the Bible. And one of my, this is probably one of my favorite books of the Bible, and it is the book of Philippians. And so Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. It was the first church that he planted in Europe. And it was a missionary church plant. And so he had just mad love, mad just respect, obviously, for the people of this church and just a great affection for it. And so he wrote this letter to help bring encouragement and joy and maturity to believers in Christ so that we can have joy for the journey. How many want to have joy for the journey, everybody? Amen. I'm not just trying to scoot on by and just kind of through life. I want joy. And God has meant for you and I to enjoy this life. And so we're in this place in this book. It's a short book. If you want to read it throughout this series, I think it would be good. I think it's always kind of a fun thing to do because it's only four chapters, and you'll see the word joy and rejoice is mentioned 16 different times. Now, the interesting thing about this book that a lot of people just kind of miss, so I want to try to get something in your spirit today, but I also want to just kind of teach you because I think sometimes we move through the scriptures so quick that we kind of miss emphasis on some things. And so in other words, Paul was in a place, the irony of this whole book being written, that when he was writing this book and he was writing it on joy, he was, his butt was sitting in prison, y'all. I mean, think about that, talking about writing about joy while he's locked up in chains. I just don't know if I could do that, everybody. And so admire his faith greatly. And so the Roman jail was actually underground in that time, so there was no lights, and he was chained to a guard all the time. And so the guards would change out spots every 8 hours or so. And Paul was just in a place that he knew that he was going to die at any time. He was literally just waiting for his execution. And he always wanted to preach in Rome. That was kind of his dream city that he wanted to go to, but it was something that never happened for him because he ended up being arrested in Jerusalem. And so in Philippians chapter 1, we're going to hang out in this chapter today. In verse 3, we start, and he just begins this letter by saying, I thank my God. How many of you think in the midst of prison you would be thanking God? I was reading it this week. I thought, boy, Paul, I really do admire you because I don't know that I could do that. And I think as we begin this, what's important for us to learn is how to have joy in your bad days. I think the true sign of a mature Christian, a follower of Christ, is how you handle your bad days. And how do you respond? Amen, everybody? And he says, so I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always, love this, pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you. Do you realize God's begun a good work in you? How many know God's beginning something inside your life? Amen, everybody? Yeah. He that began a good work in you will carry it out, carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I just declare over you this morning in Jesus' name that every dream that you have within your heart will become a reality in Jesus' name. Amen, church? So this guy was in a place, Paul was in a place, though, in his life, the dreams didn't come true. I think for Paul, he was in a place that he thought his life was going to go one direction when God took him on a different one. And sometimes you better thank God for what you may think is a detour is often God's will and his plan for your life. So thank God for that when it doesn't always go your way, all right? So instead of preaching on a stage somewhere, God used him to in a powerful way to minister life and hope to many in the prisons that he was in. So if you're following along in our notes, Paul was in a place that he discovered that something I think few do. And as followers of Jesus, it's a promise that we have, and I think it's a promise that you need to cling to and you want for your life. So jot this down, first of all, that we need to understand the difference between happiness and joy, and there's a massive difference, and I want to just teach you that this morning. First of all, happiness is external. Happiness is external, while joy, come on, everybody shout joy this morning.
Joy.
All right, that was okay. Shout it again. Shout joy.
Joy.
There you go. Joy is internal. Joy is not determined by your circumstances. Joy is not determined by what's happening around you or what's going on. Paul, I think more than any probably person ever I've ever met, had probably the right to kind of complain, the right to whine if he wanted to, but he didn't. It's interesting, if you read in your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there's a list of just the things that he went through. Five times, everybody say five times, he took and received the 39 lashes that Jesus took. Think about that. Five times he took that. And then he finds himself out bobbing and just floating in the Mediterranean Sea, and for anywhere from 24 to 36 hours, not even sure if he's ever going to make it, but he finally floats to shore. So he's shipwrecked, floats to shore, and he's freezing to death. Then he builds a fire, and then while the fire is built, a snake comes along and bites him. I mean, that's a bad day. That's a bad few days for Brother Paul. And then he gets stoned, and I'm not talking recreationally either, all right, everybody? So he gets stoned. Anyway, move on. 2 Corinthians, oh, that's funny. Chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, but yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Can I just tell you something this morning, that if your outward determines your inward, that you're in trouble? And that's why we need messages and I think series like this to help us, because anything that God wants to do, he always wants to do from the inside out. God is so attracted to your heart, and he wants to be the God of your life. He wants all of you, not part of you. Amen. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Paul found that joy is something that outweighs happiness. In other words, Paul is saying, guys, he said, I've found something that works. Trust me. I love this part of this verse. So we fix our eyes, not on my current situation, not on my current problems. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen, it's temporary, it's subject to change, but what is unseen is eternal. Don't get messed up by just focusing on what's happening to you right now. And continue to look with eyes to see the unseen and know that God has a plan. Happiness, jot this down, is based on circumstance. It's interesting, the word happy in Latin, the Latin word for it, is actually circumstance or luck. I don't know about you, but I'm not really interested in living my life by luck. By just, well, whatever happens. If it's you ever just, for some people, man, they just kind of, if it's sunny out, I'm happy. But if it's rainy out, and it's been raining a long time around here, I'm just mad and I'm sad. I'm just not going to allow the weather to determine my outcome. Come on, somebody. And for some, we just kind of go through life that way. But there is joy unspeakable that God wants to put within your heart, within your spirit. And so living a life based upon circumstances or luck is just a horrific way to do life. And so you're totally then at the mercy of whatever happens to you. So circumstance, when you think of that, it's a circle that you're standing in, is the place that you decide to dwell. And if you've got something negative in your life happening right now, a situation you're not happy with, a circumstance that you're not happy with, can I just encourage you, don't allow your circle to determine your stance. Amen, everybody. But stand always in the posture of faith and knowing that God is with you. And because he is with you, man, all things are about to work together for your good. Amen, everybody. And so remember who your God is. I'd asked somebody one time, I said, how are you doing? And responded, well, I'm well under the circumstances. Well, man, that's a kind of a defeated answer, isn't it, everybody? And so let's not allow that to govern our life. And I just want to encourage somebody this morning that whatever is going on, because we all face things. Every single one of us in this place have needs. Amen, everybody? And we're in a place that whatever you feel like is surrounding you, I'm just declaring over you today that God is surrounding it. And he is not unaware of what is going on in your life, but that God is surrounding that thing in Jesus' name. Here's what joy is based on. It's based on Christ. It's based on your relationship with Jesus. For those that maybe are growing in the faith and at different levels, there's really, I think, two things that God's always trying to do and use in our life and to teach us and to work inside of us. And this isn't in your notes, but it's just, first of all, one would just be a supernatural work that can't always be explained. Because God is a God to be experienced. And so there's things within the power of God that he's always wanting to do and to teach us. And then the second thing is that God does use things within the natural, things that we see, our work, our neighbors, and whatever, you know, to teach us lessons. Sometimes one of us has a little cray-cray neighbor out there. So, you know, always trying to teach you something. Amen, everybody? But chapter 4 of Philippians, some of y'all laughing because you got one next to you. All right? Pray for him. Pray for him. All right? Says this, we're going to skip a couple chapters ahead just for a moment. Paul said this. He said, for I have learned, underlined or circle that word learned, to be content, whatever the circumstances. And no matter, and the reason why I want you to highlight that is because we all are on a journey. And we're learning, guys. We're in this gang that we're learning. And Paul was in a place where he said, I've learned. I'm realizing the importance of whatever's happening to me. I'm going to learn to be content. I'm not going to be moved by what's happening and what everybody else is doing. I'm only going to be moved by God and his word in my life. I love something I heard Pastor Brian Houston from Hillsong say a while back. How many have known a few know-it-alls in your life? All right, how many are know-it-all? No, I'm just kidding. But he said this. He said, don't be a know-it-all, but be a learn-it-all. And I just say, man, Pastor Brian, that's a good word right there. Amen. And so if you know it all, then you should probably be up here, not me. All right, everybody? But we're all on a journey. Amen. Happiness happens by chance. I think an important principle that I've learned in my life is that choices lead, feelings follow. That my feelings and my emotions will not determine the course of my life. That I will always run to God first and run to his word first before decisions are ever made in my life. So choices lead, feelings follow. So happiness happens by chance. Happiness really isn't up to you. It's just kind of whatever happens. You might be happy, you might not be happy, but joy is a choice. Joy happens by choice. And can I just give you just something very practical, something just very simple, that don't allow the things that you can't control control you. I think sometimes as followers of Jesus, man, we just get hung up with stupid stuff. And our brains start spinning on things, about this and that. And I'm just telling us as followers of Jesus, trust in the God of the Bible, everybody, that knows every situation, every detail of your life. Let me even say it this way. For some, we lose sleep because we're constantly thinking. And I've just had to learn in my own life to, it's time to sleep. It's time for my brain to shut up in Jesus' name so I can go to sleep. Any of y'all ever have to do that before? Just tell your thoughts, it's time to sleep. It's time to rest. And so I just encourage you, don't allow the things that you can't control control you, though. And just to be free of that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? Y'all full of joy this morning? You're going to be. It's coming. So I want to encourage you, though, because that's many of people's journey that they're just kind of on this course. And it's one of the purposes of why this book was written for us. Deuteronomy 30:19, such a great verse. It says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Everybody say it's a choice. It's a choice. You have the decision. And can I just encourage you? Choose life. You have the ability to choose. So everybody shout, choose life. Come on, I don't want to live on the other side of that. I want to choose life. I want to be life-giving. I want to be full of hope, full of joy. And this is God's will for our lives. So I want to give you just practically a couple very simple things in your notes today for you to just kind of hunker down with me and write some of this down. But let's go back to Philippians 1 and verse 9. It says this, this is my prayer. Again, Paul talking that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit, all right, because this is a fruit of the Spirit, all right, joy is, of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So there's a couple things that Paul offers us. First one, jot this down. this morning that we have to stop asking why. And this is a hard one. And I get that because it's tempting to get in a situation where we're constantly asking why. It's tempting, and I'll just tell you this, people will die in their whys. People will spend years, I've known people that have spent their life just asking why. And I'll just say this, as long as you stay there, you won't find your solution. And what happens, I think, for many of us as Christians, sometimes we get stuck. Because we get so focused on what happened 15 years ago, and we've carried this with us for so long that we're stuck. We're stuck from 15 years ago. And I'm just telling you, you have to get over the distraction of what happened. You have to allow God and by His Holy Spirit. Listen, time doesn't heal all pain, everybody. Only the Holy Spirit and His presence can heal all pain. Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you so much. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, surrender whatever that is to the Lord. Give it to Him, all right, and allow God and His Spirit to minister to you so you can get that thing off you in Jesus' name. One of the stories that I love so much and that I've told, been a while since I've told this, Horatio Spafford, incredible man of God, lived in the late 1800s, had a beautiful family, had a wife and five kids, and was very successful in real estate in the Chicago area. And after some time through his family, his four-year-old boy, I want you to think about this, his four-year-old boy had scarlet fever and ended up dying. Lost his four-year-old son. And then it wasn't too long after the death of his son that there was what was called, for all the history buffs that may know, the Great Chicago Fire that devastated Chicago, and he lost all of his real estate that he owned. So he goes through losing the death of his four-year-old son, then to losing all of his real estate, to obviously being in a place trying to just see, man, how can I get things all back together again? And so after some time, they decide as a family, we're going to take a vacation. I think I'd take a vacation after that too. Lord have mercy. And so they were setting to go to Europe to take a ship across the ocean there in the Atlantic, and they were getting ready to go, and Horatio was called to an emergency meeting for his real estate business, and so he had to stay, but sent his wife and his four girls over, and he told them, I'll meet you there after I get done with these meetings. Well, so a little bit of time some passed, his wife and girls had left, and Horatio gets an urgent telegram that was sent in the mail to him that just said, saved alone from his wife, and he knew exactly what that meant. That ship that his wife and girls were on went on a collision course with another one and crashed and capsized, and his four daughters drowned in the Atlantic Ocean. And so quickly he got on the next boat to head over there to the ship and over to Europe, and he gets there, and as they're traveling over, the captain comes over the loudspeaker and says, this is where the wreckage happened. We're going to take a moment, some time, just to reflect. There's family on this boat. And man, people said they'll never forget what Horatio did. They said he went up to the railing, grabbed the railing, went tiptoed and put his feet up on there because he knew his daughters were down below the sea somewhere. And just out of him, he declared and he said this, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And that's an old hymn that's been in the church for a very long time. And I'm just here to let you know there's not always a lot of answers to the why, everybody. God never made us a promise that earth was going to be perfect. And ultimately, that's a myth that's been out there, that he does not obligate himself to us, that tough times won't come. There's actually a promise that God warns us that tough times are ahead. John 16:33. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God never promised that we wouldn't be without trouble, but He did promise that in the midst of our trouble that we can rise above it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus came on this rescue mission for us, for humanity, and Paul realized that. Paul realized that no matter what's happening, good or bad, God always, always, always has a plan. Always has a plan. And that we've got to trust in his word. Look at the person next to you and tell him God has a plan. God does. Look back at him and say, for real. For real. For real. He's got a plan. Verse 12 says this. He said, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me. Paul's saying, there's been some bad things that have happened to me. They may kill me tomorrow. I don't know. But bad stuff is happening to me. But it has actually served to advance the gospel. I think it's pretty powerful to see in Paul's life in a moment that he refused, in the midst of what he was facing and going through, he refused to ask why. And I've gotten that question a lot just in ministry. Just why does this happen? Why does that happen? And I've just, man, made the decision, I'm going to wait till I get to heaven to ask questions. Because there's some things I want to know when I get to heaven. I don't know about you, but there's some things I want to know. Like, did, you know, Adam and Eve have a belly button? I've always wondered that. Like, did they? Don't know if anybody else thinks like that, but that's the way I think. The other thing I thought is Noah, my man. Like, you know, I think we could all probably gather around Noah when we're in heaven one day. I said, Noah, man, like, you had an opportunity. Like, a real opportunity on the ark. Remember two of every kind that went on the ark with you? Yeah, yeah. Bro, like, mosquitoes. Like, you could have wiped them bad boys off the planet for good. There ain't nothing that we humans don't like more than stupid mosquitoes on this earth. Come on, somebody. Like, why? My man, Noah. Come on, my man. Like, you had the opportunity. Anyway, so there's questions I'd like to ask. So, number two. Start asking what. This is, can I just be real with you? Can I just be totally transparent with you? This is my season right now. I'm asking God what. I'm in a what season. What are you trying to teach me right now, God season? Different things and different things happening and just even some physical challenges I've had recently. I'm just asking through this. I'm saying, okay, Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? Can I just tell you God's teaching me some things? And I love the journey that I'm on. And I just have refused, gang, to get in the why question. I just encourage you, don't go there. Don't allow yourself to go there. But say, Holy Spirit, what is it? What is it trying to show me? What is it you're trying to help me with? What are you trying to teach me? You've got to realize that God is up to something, even if it's not according to your plans. Paul was in a place that he discovered, I think, something very powerful, that in every, listen to me, in every circumstance, there's opportunity for good. Good can come. Good will come. Man, if you're a son and daughter of the Most High, good can and will come. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I'm locked up in prison, ain't no secret. But while I'm in this season, in this prison, I'm going to be used by God. Instead of complaining, instead of whining, instead of excuses, I'm going to say, okay, God, what is it that you want to do in me through and in this season? And so in the midst of hardship, in the midst of prison, he made a decision, I'm going to be used by God to reach all these others. And that's exactly what happened. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters who have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What an incredible attitude. Like, that's somebody you want to hang with, everybody. Amen? Always something good to find, even in the tough times. There's a story about an African king who had a bestie. Everybody know what a bestie is? It's a best friend, everybody, all right? And so had a bestie, and everywhere they went, his best friend, man, just always was positive. Always positive and would say things like, this is good. This is good. You know, every situation, this is good. And so they went out hunting one day together, and his best friend, the African king's best friend, prepared their guns. And so they were, his bestie gave him the gun, and he loaded it and was getting ready to shoot. And when he shot it, it misfired and blew off his thumb. I mean, oh, that's a bad day. Lose a thumb on the play. And his friend responds, well, this is good. This is good. And he said, well, how in the world is losing my thumb good? There's no good in this. And so he got so mad at his best friend that he throws him in prison. Just mad, just done with him. Done with him. Can't believe he would tell me it's good. So about a year later goes by, The African king goes out by himself hunting. How many know you don't do life alone? Get in a small group. You want to go hunting? You better get in a small group. And so he goes and he hunts on his own. When he was seized, he was caught by a group of cannibals. That's not good. And so they take him and they tie him up because they're getting ready to, man, roast him and eat him. When they noticed he was missing a thumb. Well, cannibals by nature are superstitious. They won't eat anything that's not whole. So they let him go. And so the king left. He thought, man, I need to go back to the prison. He said, I need to let my best friend out. I need to apologize to him. That's a good friend, wouldn't you say? So I need to go back to him. And so he goes back to the prison and he apologizes. I'm so sorry. He said, I should have never locked you up in here. I want you to come out and be free. Told him the situation, what happened. His friend looked at him and said, oh my. He said, but this is good. This is good. And he said, how in the world can you continue to say that and me being caught by cannibals was good? His friend responded back and he said, because if you hadn't locked me up, I would have been with you. That's funny right there. I don't care what you say. That's funny. There's something good in everything, everybody. Amen. Come on. Something good is happening. Romans 8:28. Love this verse. And we know that in all things. Everybody shout all things. All things. Come on, shout it like you believe it. All things. All things. God works for the good. He never, ever stops working for your good. Aren't you thankful for a God who doesn't sleep nor slumber? Who's always working for your good. Always working for the good of those who love him. And who have been called according to his purpose. You say, man, Kyle, I'm going through it right now. I just want you to know his word works. Put his word in action. What you are facing right now, God can turn. And I just declare, is turning for your good in Jesus' name. You got to start seeing it. You got to start seeing God's word and taking him at his word. This is not a myth, a fairy tale, everybody. God's word is alive and moving. And we got to take him at his word. Amen, everybody? I'm preaching good now. You with me? I'll never forget. I was about 14. And I was in a season as a young teenage boy where I was just, man, just passionate about God. 14 years of age and interesting date, September 11th of 1999. And my friends and I were leaving Kokomo that day, heading down to a festival in Tipton County. When my friend, we were in one of them old neons, and y'all remember the old neons? And small things too, Lord have mercy. And so we're in that, my friend swerved to the left lane, but overcompensated, and we went off a bridge and flipped three times. And I didn't have a seatbelt on, so I was ejected from the vehicle. I'll never forget when I came to consciousness that I looked up and part of my leg, my foot was underneath the car, and I just looked at my three friends. I literally thought they were dead and just dangling in their seatbelts. It was horrific, horrific. But thanks be to God that all of us lived. And I'll never forget in that time I had a bunch of glass, obviously the medical staff at the ER had to take out of me and got all these scars on my back from it. And I'll never forget, though, they told me my foot was broken. I thought maybe more damage had been done to my leg, but it was just my foot. And I thought, okay, I mean, if that's the worst of this, I mean, this is a miracle that we're all even alive. And so I just remember as a boy reading the Word of God and just taking God at his word. Can I just tell you that God desires to do a miracle in your life? But here's what we got to do, church, is remove the barriers and really believe that he is the God, that he is I am. He is I am. He wants to do this for your life. Am I talking to anybody? And so I'll never forget, I told my mom, after they gave me a cast for my foot, I was on crutches and I'm 14 in school and wanted to play sports and, well, it's 6 to 9 weeks. I thought, man, I ain't got 6 to 9 weeks. I'm 14 and want to do some things, not be on this all the time, you know. And so I'll never forget, though. I just prayed. I said, God, you're the God of the Bible. And I know that you took your stripes upon your back for my healing. And so I believe in Jesus' name that you can heal my foot. In Jesus' name. And so I went the rest of the week, went to Sunday morning services, man, just kept believing. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm just believing. I said, I'm sick of this cast, like, done. It's only been a week. And Sunday night comes. That's just faith, guys. Just trusting God, taking Him at His word. In the midst of joy in this series, I'm just believing God's going to restore some things back to you that the enemy's tried to steal. Yeah, for some, we've lost our joy. God's saying, I want to restore it back to you. And so, and part of restoration is taking God at His word and knowing what His word says about you is true, okay? And so in the midst of it, Sunday night service comes. I got to be quick with this story just to say this moment. I was sitting down. I couldn't stand up, but I was praying. It was during worship, and nobody came over to me. Nobody put a hand on me. I was sitting on this side of the auditorium in a chair with a few of my friends, second row. Never forget, I could point you at the church and where I was at. And I heard the Spirit of God say to me, you're healed, take off your cast. I was like, what? You know, I was like, for real? You know, I thought maybe it was the pizza, the tacos the afternoon. I was like Gideon, throwing another fleece. Lord, was that you? Was that me? You know what I mean? And so I said, Lord, is that you? And I heard it again. I said, take it off. I healed you. I took that bad boy off. I stood up. I thought, well, here's the first step, you know? And then all of a sudden, I just walked to the back of the auditorium of our church. I started walking, man. No pain. Got back to my seat, got my worship on with my newly healed foot, everybody. Can I just tell you, take God at His word. He desires to do miracles. We just got to believe. That's why I'm not going to quit believing for this city and what God wants to do in the greater Fort Wayne area. We are a part of what God is wanting to do, not only in this end time, but in this city. The best is right in front of us, everybody. God is a God of miracles, and you can take Him at His word. Amen. And so I just encourage you, take Him at His word. Here's the third thing I want to give you today. Is refocus. This is a word for some of us on what really matters. Refocus. I remember 8 years ago being in the hospital on my deathbed. Can I tell you, there were three things that I was thinking about knowing that I might die, and it was looking that way. Three things, because I think only three things really matter when you're dying, and that's who you loved, who loved you, and what you did for Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. At the end of the day, it's not about your stuff. It's not about your cars, not about your home, not about anything else, but the impact that you're making on this side of eternity. Paul was in a place, verse 15, as we close up, other churches are in the area that are popping up. They're stirring up trouble. And they're beginning to talk negative about Paul and his church plant. Verse 15 says this. This is, man, Paul's attitude is just contagious. I love his heart and his spirit. So this is his response to the midst of negative noises. He said, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Now, this is my boy right here. Look at this response. Very simple. I highlighted it for you. But what's the matter? I know negative noises and things are being said, but who cares? Can I just tell you, whatever's being said or whatever's happening, what's it matter? Because at the end of the day, you stay on point. You stay on mission of what God has. You let God take care of all that stuff, but you stay faithful to what He has for you. And I'm telling you, He that begins a good work in you will complete it, will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. Because the mission is bigger than you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on people, not on circumstances. I just love it. Look at the person next to you and say, so what's it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, I love it. He said, Christ is being preached. It's all good, guys. Because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to do so. Paul was in a place that he wasn't bothered by the threats. He wasn't in a place where he wasn't scared of more prison time or death. He knew whom he belonged to. He said this in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, if I get to live and they don't kill me, that means I get to preach more. But if they kill me, Paul says, then I get to go to heaven and be with my Lord. 2 Timothy 4:8, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And here's the great news, everybody. Jot this last point down, that when you know Christ, you're in a win-win situation. That no matter what's happening, God's working for your good. Joy unspeakable into your life. Amen, church. Amen. Come on, bow your heads where you're at. Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you right now for this word. Lord, I believe this is a timely message series in this season. And so I just declare that what the enemy has tried to steal, that God, you're going to return and restore back 100-fold. I declare it right now over every life, every family, every marriage, every person. And Father, I declare that the joy of the Lord is for real, our strength. And I declare joy unspeakable in our homes and in our kids, at the workplace, Lord, at home. Joy, peace is our portion in the name of Jesus. And Satan, we serve you notice today that you are not in charge. God is in control and God is in charge. And so we declare that you are defeated this day. And we declare you are powerless and that God, you reign supreme. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Come on, with every head bowed, all eyes closed for this moment. If you're here, I want to give you an opportunity before we leave and dismiss this service to commit your life to Christ, whether for the first time or recommitting your life. I want to give you an opportunity before you leave this place to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Come on, he went to that cross for you. He was beaten naked publicly for you, and he loves you. For some, that's the joy you've been waiting on, is, man, an authentic relationship with Jesus. So all over this room, with every head bowed, all eyes closed, just a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand if that's you. Don't be ashamed. Raise it high. He went to that cross publicly for you. So raise it high in just a moment. But come on, that says, if you're there and says, man, that's me. 1, 2, 3. Come on, raise it high. Say, man, that's me. Yes, yes, gotcha, gotcha. Thank you, Jesus. Yep, gotcha, gotcha. Amen, gotcha. I'm proud of you, man. That's awesome. Awesome. Man, God, we just thank you so much for your presence. Come on, if you're here this morning and, man, you're ready for that. You've raised your hand. I want you to pray this prayer with me this morning. I'm going to lead you in. Come on, church. Just say this. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. My heart belongs to you. Forgive me of my sins. I declare that my life is not my own. My life belongs to Jesus. So make me brand new. Fill me with your spirit. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. Jesus, thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God's done.